Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. At the pivotal moment of the 1994 Disney movie Lion King, yes, take a moment to let that sink in, 1994, the monkey Rafiki confronts the lion Simba in his moment of internal turmoil. He's trying to decide if he's going to go home and fight for his people, his pride. And he asks him, "Who are you?" Many times over. That's the question. That's the central question, really, in some ways, of all of life. Who are you? And who gets to decide and who gets to determine who you are? Hopefully, in the best sense, in our faith, we discover the power and the conviction to name for ourselves, to define for ourselves who we are, and not let somebody else choose that for us. It doesn't always feel that way. When it comes to how we live before God in terms of our financial resources, our stewardship of our gifts, and our time and our talent, we've been talking about other things that could define us. We could be defined by fear, by worry, by that anxiousness for tomorrow. We could be defined by impatience, by our lack of impulse control, like the prodigal child, remember? We could be defined by our discontent and our dissatisfaction, all the things we don't have. But I suggest that we can also be defined by generosity. We can be defined by thanksgiving. We can be defined by our willingness and our joy in offering what we have, whatever we have, whatever small, meager resources they may be, whatever extravagant resources they may be, by offering what we have. And when we get to decide how we prioritize, then we get to define for ourselves how that's going to be. We get to define what it is that names us, that shapes us. When you do that, when you decide what your priority is going to be, here's the trick. We have to act deliberately, because there's a whole bunch of other things out there that are seeking to define it for us. And when it comes to money, you know, the Bible talks about giving a tithe, giving 10%. Now again, that's sometimes a lofty goal for some folk to reach, especially at first. And so what we encourage folk to do is to start someplace, any place, start with a proportional gift, and to grow toward and beyond 10% as you're able and as you're moved and as you're led by God. But whatever it is that we've decided we're going to give, and we want that to be, we want our givingness, our generosity, our fearlessness to be what defines us, then we have to act with decisiveness and deliberateness. Because you see, life is sort of like, not a box of chocolates, sorry, although that would have been really good, especially given what I'm about to do. Life is like a basket of apples. It's like you have these 10 apples, and they're all for different things, you know? You gotta give to housing, whether that's rent or mortgage, you gotta give to food, you gotta take care of your family, you gotta put some into savings. And God's asked for 10%, or whatever we're working toward. You say, okay, well, we're gonna give that to God, put it right in that offering plate. But you know, if you don't do that first, then what happens is an emergency. There's always an emergency. What happens is the car breaks down and you've got to do something about that. And then, while it's already in your hand, you see there's a new gadget out that you also really needed. Well, you need to take a little bit out of that too. And life continues for the month or the week. And you forgot lunch. You meant to bring it into the office, but you forgot it, so now you got to go out and buy some lunch. Preaching while eating is hard. And before you know it, what you intended to give to God, it's looking a little shabby. So we act, hopefully, with more deliberateness than that. The good news is that next week there'll be another apple. Or next month there'll be another apple. The good news is we always have an opportunity to choose again, to define again, or to redefine ourselves. That's also one of the beautiful things about faith, right? It's true of everything, not just what we give. It's true of who we are when we make a mistake, when we fall down in our prayer life, in our trying to be kind and loving life, in our work for justice in the world life. We get every opportunity to stand back up again, or to sit back up again, or to pull ourselves by our elbows as much as we can up again and say, okay, God, we're going to do this again. I'm sorry, let's take this from the top. So we get the opportunity to define ourselves again and again, to say, I want to be one of those generous people. I want to be those people that say, I'm going to joyfully give. I'm going to see what that's like. Now, as I've said throughout this series, we can sometimes demonize folk based on choices that we perceive that they've made. And it's really easy to look even at the people in Scripture and say that they just made bad choices and they kind of are in the situation they find themselves in because of that. The prodigal child is a great story by that example, right? Here's a kid who wastes things and then, you know, life happens and he's out of money, but, you know, we kind of saw that coming, right? Or the Israelites. We read about the Israelites back in the wilderness waiting for Moses, who's up talking to God on Mount Sinai like forever. And so they get worried and they don't know where to turn to direction. And so they melt their jewelry down and they create a calf out of gold and they start worshiping that. And God gets mad. And we can see that coming. And we could say that's a bad choice. But the people that I chose to speak about today, the stories we pulled from Scripture this morning, these are folk who are being defined by other people and not by their own choice. And not by anything they've done or anything we can or should blame them for, although there are plenty of people who did at the time, and probably in some ways it still feels like that if you've ever been in these situations. Sarah is defined by her childlessness. As cruel and unfair as that is, that was common at that time, and if anyone who's ever struggled with infertility knows it feels like a judgment even today. She's defined by that childlessness through nothing she has done. Her value is called into question because of it. And this woman, this widow who's putting a couple of coins into the offering plate in the temple, even as Jesus is saying, the people in the temple, the very ones who are supposed to be protecting widows like her, could it be any clearer? Are cheating and swindling and misusing the money and mismanaging justice that has been given into their hands. And so she has given what little she has, but she is locked into cycles of poverty through no choice of her own, in fact, through the corruption of others. How can we be set free from that? It's not our own choices. It's the choices of others, or it's the way of the world, or it's just what happened. And can we really trust that we can be set free from those definitions around us? And yet, both of these women do just that. I gotta love Sarah. You gotta always love Sarah. She does just that. And her reaction to the proclamation that she is no longer going to be called childless, that indeed her descendants will be as numerous as the stars, is, yeah, right? And we've all been there. Yeah, right, God. Okay, if you say so, but I didn't laugh. I just kind of chuckled. Something in my throat, maybe a piece of apple skin. Why does she laugh? Why do we laugh in those moments? We laugh when we're uncomfortable. We laugh when something seems improbable, unlikely, impossible. And I believe it's because we get pushed to the very edge of our comfort zone, and right there, there's a little, ha-ha, little giggle, a little gasp. It could be a sob, but we choose to make it a laugh, right? I'm still doing, as you can tell from my sneakers, still doing work to heal my foot, the plantar fasciitis that I've got going on there, right? And I've got to stretch it, you know? And I've got to stretch the heel. I don't stretch it so hard that it rips and tears the tendons, and that's going to be counterproductive to my ability to heal, right? But I also don't just sort of like, you know, stretch it a little bit and not really feel anything, because that's not going to do anything. I push right to where it goes, ooh. Because right there at that edge, that's where the transformation happens. For my foot, that's where the transformation happens. And trusting in God is like that. The transformation doesn't happen if we push ourselves so hard that we hurt ourselves. That's not helpful to anyone. But the transformation also doesn't happen if we stay locked in our comfort zones and we do the things that we've pre-calculated that make sense and that are all taken care of. Nothing's going to change and nothing's going to heal. Sarah teaches us to push right to that place where transformation can happen. And when we get there, there's something like a laugh. There's something like a little giggle, and it might be nerves, and it might be joy, and it might be something in between and mixed together. But it's at that point that we have crossed over trusting in ourselves, trusting in her own body to do what she's wanted it to do, and we have to rely on God. This widow who gives these two coins, she can't trust in the world to care for her. They're not doing that job. But when she tosses those coins into the plate, into the treasury box, what freedom does she experience? Because you know what? She was already living solely by the grace of God. But now it's really clear. Whew. Nothing else to do for it. Did she laugh? Did she give a little giggle of release? There are lots of people who will tell you how much you're supposed to give to God. And one of the things I've heard people say is give until it hurts. A little bit like the heel stretching metaphor, right? Not hurts like tears the tendons. I don't want folk to give until it hurts. We don't want, we say as a church, and I agree, we don't want folk to give until the budget is met. Don't want folk to give until they reach a required percent. As I said, 10% is a good goal for some. For others, left that a while ago. For others, well, we're going to get there in a while. It's not about that. I invite you, when you think about giving, when you think about what it is that God is calling you to give until you laugh. You know that amount you're thinking even now, right? You're thinking about it, you talked about it, you prayed about it, I hope, that you've carefully calculated this is going to work. This is what I can do. I invite you to adjust it just a little, to push into that stretch just a little bit more and hear Sarah's laughter bubble up inside you, just that little bit that makes you go, "Hoo-hoo, if you say so, God, because I can't do this on my own. But I was already living out of your grace and your abundance. I just need help remembering that." You have some resources in your bulletin, and you're going to be given a card by the ushers at this time. One of these is personal goals and commitment. These are a variety of goals, and I invite you as you decide and discern what you are going to give to God financially per week or per month to jot that down for yourself. This is for you to keep and to place somewhere where you can look back on it, your Bible or your bedside table or wherever works for you. But there are other goals, too. Goals about how often you're going to spend in prayer. Goals about how you're going to work on the other finances in your life so that you can be as generous as you hope to be someday or in the future. And so this is for you, and I invite you, even in those goals of I'm going to pray every day, if that feels like, oh yeah, no problem, then push into that a little bit. Make yourself laugh. I'm going to pray 3 times a day. But if, you know, praying once a week other than church is pretty good for you, hey, that's all right. Push into that. I'm going to try it 2x a week. Or 3x a week. So I invite you to stretch yourself and encourage yourself in that. And then as the ushers hand out our giving cards, our estimate of commitment cards, these little blue cards, I'm going to invite us into a time of prayer. and to pray over that, to think about that, to listen to your heart. Listen not to what I say and not to the things that we have talked about here. Those are tools to help you. But listen to where God is calling you. What makes you laugh? What gives you a thrill of anticipation, thinking to yourself, God, is this possible? And answer like the widow with tossing her coins, or Sarah giggling with hope. Well, if you say so, I'm going to trust in you. Let us pray and be in a spirit of prayer.